Okay, do we have, let's see, we got Ken, Marie, Mark, Nancy. All right. So I'll take a motion to go back into open session.
So moved.
I'll move to go back into open session.
Okay, Nancy moves.
Second.
And Ken seconds. All those in favor.
Hang on, we just lost Marie.
Ah, did we just lose Marie? Okay, Marie's back. Okay, the motion is made by Nancy, seconded by Ken to go back into open session. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, seeing none, I would certainly love to entertain a motion.
I would move to grant the appeal and release the records. Is that?
Right, okay, the motion is specific to the two pages email records that had been classified 30518 by the governmental entity. Motion is to release them as public. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mark seconds. Motion by Nancy, seconded by Mark. Is there any discussion to the motion? All right, seeing none, we'll vote. Nancy?
Aye.
Aye. Ken?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Marie?
Aye.
And I vote aye. The motion passes. In order, is there anything? Okay, I suppose we could also address Mr. Onesco's position that not all records were provided other than this. There's discussion to that matter. Does anyone want to make a motion to that point? Do you know what I mean?
No. I was thinking that was part of the other one. Am I wrong?
Is that part of the other? Okay. All right. Then the motion will be drafted in 7 business days and delivered to all parties. There's a 30-day appeal on the date of the signature to go to district court. And so we can proceed to the next hearing. If there is other material, we can pick it up in that. So we haven't gone through the procedures of the proceedings. We will begin then with testimony from the governmental entity. Mr. Onesco, you have 20 minutes. And we would appreciate, since we are past our calendar, our time, brevity would certainly be appreciated by the committee.
Madam Chair, before we move on, can I just ask for clarification whether the determination was that it's not work product or that it is work product and the committee's releasing it under the weighing authority?
We are not releasing it under the weighing authority. We are releasing it as public.
As not work product? As a
yes.
Okay.
Under 30518. Okay.
So as not work product under 30518.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's just the emails.
Essentially, I want to go with 30518 because I'm wondering if there's some confusion. I want to be clear, 30518, we are stating that these are not protected under 30518, records prepared for or by an attorney, consultant, certi, etc., or agent of a governmental entity for or anticipation of litigation for, and then there's a list. So I'm not sure if I want to be on this exact same page, all right? So let's begin with the next hearing. Mr. Onesco?
Thank you. I'll try to present them now, so I don't think I've got the hang of this. Do you see my exhibit?
No.
All right, let's see here. All right, I'll note that it's 1:40 right now. Okay, so a window.
There we go. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. All right, so this case is very similar to the other one, and I'll just briefly mention for the record, I don't want to belabor any more discussion, but I believe that it's inappropriate for the AAG to be the appellee and the counsel in the same hearing. I believe that I should have been granted witness subpoenas in this meeting, and I think that's sufficient now. Again, I didn't get a chance to mention this the last time because I was in such a hurry to try to finish, but the key to in the rules for this committee for appeal hearings, where it says that there can be no communication between the parties and the committee, it says unless expressly authorized by law. Mr. Randall mentioned in the last hearing that, oh, the Constitution, the Attorney General shall be counsel to state officers, and then in Graham it says that the Attorney General shall be counsel to the committee. But you can't get around that expressly. There's a court case, 1979, Beck versus Cox. Expressly means has to be declared. It can't just be implied. So that's what I'm hanging my hat on that other appeal. I'm hoping that the government LA has brought these disputed records. Now the chair has told me that I can only hope for that as opposed to insist upon it at the start of the hearing, but I'm hoping that they did bring those records. And we can move on from Exhibit E. I still feel that I should not have been denied subpoenas to question the chair and to question the AAG counsel, because I feel that it would prove that there is a conflict of interest. And lastly, the Utah Legal Clinic case and the Schroeder case, I need to just raise for future fact finders that the purpose of my inquiry and my request for records is that I believe that there's possible government corruption, and the citizens have a right to know about possible public corruption. So, and again, hopefully the committee doesn't need too much refreshing here, but the issue is a state employee leaving the premises, not just for a day or two, for 2 months. And that laptop had a sensitive case material for the Attorney General's office, including a case that I was involved in that I was trying to get access to through discovery. A number of other cases wanted access to that laptop for discovery. And then 2 months later, suddenly the former employee says, oh, it's time to bring it back, but gosh, last night it was stolen. So that's what my investigation. So again, I've got these records to prove the employee's last day. I've got records that prove the value of the laptop, the value of the cell phone, and in the interest of brevity, we'll just speed right through these. Exhibit L is another one. So it's indisputable that some of the records that the AG provided to me are threads or partial threads or text and partial threads of emails. And my argument to the committee is that proves that there are other records that exist. Mr. Randall wrote in his brief that Mr. Onisco